Welcome back to Arizona. We are here at America Fest, and I'm so excited. I've been following this man for a long time. He's been on the front lines fighting critical race theory, telling people the truth, fighting the Marxist takeover. Dr. James Lindsay is here. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for sitting down. I've been following you a lot. I talk a lot about what you talk about. I wanted to talk, first and foremost, you have been on the front lines fighting critical race theory. How is the fight going? I see a lot of breakthroughs. I see a lot more people kind of understanding what you've been saying for all these years. And what do you think is happening on the forefront?
I mean, with CRT, the culture doesn't like it.
Right.
We've already won that part of the battle. What we haven't won is we haven't gotten it out of some of the key institutions. We haven't gotten it out of the schools. We haven't gotten it out of the military.
Right.
Those key institutions need to be fixed. Of course, they're going to take a while.
Right.
The universities are still pumping it out. But CRT was always just a lockpick to open the door to these other things. The queer theory, the sexual grooming of children, the attempt to create global citizens for a sustainable and inclusive future.
Right.
It was a lockpick to open the door to further programs. So CRT isn't just in the... I mean, it's not just... we can't see it as just in the rearview mirror. But the culture has largely rejected it.
Right.
We have to push it out of the institutions. We have to keep that as a priority, especially the schools and military.
Yes.
But we have to realize that it was a setup for other programs.
Right. You know, it's I talk a lot about the diversity, equity, inclusion. And, of course, all over the current installed regime, everywhere you look, at the whole of government for diversity, equity, inclusion. And people look at that and they just take it for what the words say. And I say diversity is not our strength. What we have in common is our strength. Equity is a race to the bottom. It's not equality. Inclusion means they can pick and choose who they want. And our entire civil rights bill is just a joke then. What's your take on diversity, equity, inclusion in the workplace, too? Because we are dumbing down our workforce. We are dumbing down our children, and we are dumbing down an entire, probably, our ability to even bring back manufacturing, bring back anything because of the hiring practice of diversity, well, equity, inclusion.
That's right. I mean, what you're seeing is a strategy is called entryism. It's to push out people that they don't want and to bring in and create policies that bring in only people that will be compliant or only people that will do what they do want. And this is an old communist tactic for taking over an institution, whether it's a military, whether it's a workplace. So it's got to be fought there. DEI is a disaster. Let me actually do this on stage a lot. We'll see if it works with you. I've got 100% success rate so far, but you might wreck it. No pressure.
Go ahead, I don't mind.
I'm going to give you the definition of a word, and I want you to tell me what word I defined.
Okay.
Okay, so the definition of the word is an administered political economy where shares are adjusted so that citizens are made equal.
Equity.
That is equity. That's right.
Right.
So you actually failed, because everybody says socialism, because it turns out that they have the same definition.
Right, exactly.
Equity and socialism have the identical definitions. Well, the only difference between them, because there is a difference, is that equity includes social and cultural capital in addition to economic capital. That's
right.
It. That's the only difference. So it's the redistribution of shares. So in other words, the E in DEI is its goal. That's socialism.
That's right.
The D and the I are the mechanisms. D becomes a hiring criterion, so you only hire people that are going to work as commissars.
Right.
The I is a means for censorship and purging so that it's an inclusive environment that doesn't upset the people you hired under the D.
Right.
In other words, you're creating a commissar office, a political officer in the workplace, in whatever institution, in order to enforce the goal of applying this new expanded form of socialism in that place. That's what I think of DEI.
Yeah. That's what I think, too. And the other thing that's very scary is that that means that our workforce is getting even less productive, even less ingenuity is coming out of our workforce. People aren't even encouraged to be creative anymore, to come up with new ideas, or to find things that they can patent. It appears to be just an overall sense of dumbing us down so that we're a slave nation. And on top of that, the other thing that's really disturbing is now they're getting rid of the MCAT, they're getting rid of the LSAT. So now this is bleeding into our medical schools, which will then be into our entire healthcare, our law schools, which will be in our entire legal system. So it appears that they're dumbing down every institution, and especially the ones that matter the most.
Right, simultaneously dumbing down and creating a mechanism by which only compliant people can get the positions that have success and authority. It's so important that people understand what's happening in medicine. It's not just the COVID stuff.
No.
Medical Lysenkoism is a phrase that I've been trying to push for a couple of years. Nobody knows. In the Soviet era, they had a biologist and agriculturalist by the name of Trofim Lysenko.
Okay.
So that's Lysenkoism is his kind of approach. And what he believed was all this weird stuff about Soviet agriculture, that if you plant the plants together, they'll cooperate instead of kill each other, strangle you.
Okay.
You plant too many seeds and they'll share resources and all this nonsense. Millions of people starved in Soviet Union and Ukraine. Then Mao decided that it was still a good idea and tried to force it. millions of people starved in China under the same program. We're going to see it not so much necessarily, maybe, in agriculture, but definitely in medicine.
Now,
definitely in medicine.
Where is the influence of the CCP in all of this? We know about the Confucius Institutes. We know about Thousand Talents Program. We know what's happened to all. I call them the Poison Ivy League now.
Yeah,
when
right.
I was younger, you know, I went to NYU, so it was a notch below and now a notch higher in terms of a liberal bastion of Marxism. But I have to say that we are at a place where how influential people are. I don't think people are really seeing who the puppet masters are. How much is the CCP involved in this infiltration and dumbing down of America?
I mean, significantly. This isn't their main vector of attack. Their main vector of attack, you did point out, you know, infiltrating academic institutions through like the Confucian Institute and so on. But their main vector of attack against America right now, honestly, other than the kind of big macro economic warfare games they play, is TikTok.
Right.
It's TikTok.
Yes.
It is their app. They've tailored the algorithm so that kids here want to grow up to be idiots who dance on a camera, while kids that are playing on TikTok in China are being shown engineers, scientists, et cetera.
Right.
So that's their main thing. But they are coordinating with the organizations that are trying to push the DEI really through the environmental social governance, the ESG.
Right.
So we're talking about characters like the United Nations. China's an important member of
right.
that, unbelievably. We're talking about organizations like the World Economic Forum. We just had Klaus Schwab, that's chairman, on TV saying, all the models that we have to copy is China.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like, while they're going through literally, like, people in spacesuits walking around welding people into their houses,
right on.
Dragging them off to COVID camps or whatever. Well, this is the model for the world is China. And so their partners, I can commend Xi Jinping so many times he says
right.
that. So their partnership there to get this kind of Western sustainability Marxism, it can't be, you know, you can't ignore that either. It's, in fact, can't be overstated. It's so important.
Yeah, and they try to separate it. But if you look at all the, I call them the front organizations of the puppet masters, which are the UN, World Health Organization,
yeah.
World Economic Forum, IPCC, all of them, the China has a huge play in that. And the worst part is now Kissinger is coming out, one of the architects of all of this, and
yeah.
one of the New World Order architects also brought China in. China never should have been a part of any of it because a communist nation can't be working as a united nation. They're only working for themselves. And yet, they've been inside everything. And here's the crazy part. When you look at their websites, World Economic Forum, any of them, they kind of leave China out of it. So they're kind of deceiving the world into thinking China's not really involved until you listen to what Schwab says or Harari or any of these people and you realize, no, that's exactly what they're doing. So how does the illusion of the BRICS nations breaking up with the rest of the world and the Great Reset, they are trying to, I think, hide the Beijing CCP part of the Great Reset.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, the goal, believe it or not, is to hand the century over to China.
Right.
It's supposed to be, as they call it, the Asian century. Whether that includes India, probably not Russia now.
Right.
Who knows? But China,
we don't know, really.
China at the center of that, right?
Yeah.
And so the goal is to hand over the kind of hegemony of the world, the role that the United States has played over the past roughly century, at least since World War II especially,
right.
to hand over that authority, economic authority, political authority to the Chinese. And when you talk about Kissinger, of course, you can say, well, he shouldn't have done these things or whatever, but you can also say, well, maybe he understood that if you want to transform America or the West fundamentally, you have to create the thing that has to be beaten.
Right.
Transforming
him and Brzezinski
to become like
did
them.
A very good job at
That's
creating
right.
enemies.
That's right. So you create the enemy and say, oh, well, we have to be like that to beat them. And isn't that the thing? You know, I do these things on stage. I did the equity thing with you. Another one is, which famous communist said this? Let me see if I can get this right on the spot. Famous communist, which person said this? And you kind of already know the punchline of this joke, but it's if you control the food, you control the people. If you control the energy, you control the region. If you control the money, you control the world.
Yeah,
and
Kissinger.
It was Kissinger. It
yeah.
was not Mao. It was not Stalin. It was
right.
not Lenin.
Well, also, he wrote books on China, why China's so great. He also, another thing about Kissinger, and I wonder what you think about this. I've been looking at a lot of things. I'm not so positive that the Crown or the UK ever accepted the Revolutionary War. I see the City of London being so much more involved in what's happened in America over the last 20 years, especially financially. And now if you're looking at the ESG score, and then of course somehow Larry Fink, he operates autonomously in the CCP, the only hedge fund that can do that. He's on the board of the World Economic Forum, the king of the ESG score, forcing all of the mainly every multinational corporation in America into this nonsense. And then on top of that, he's out there with Kissinger talking about everything that we need to do to help developing nations that they've left developing. So to me, like, where does BlackRock and this multinational corporation fit in? Because when I saw It was him right before COVID, probably 6 months. They were in Jackson Hole. And Larry Fink made a speech about going direct to the people.
Yeah.
And when I read through the speech, I said, you know what he's saying? Skipping the government, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and taking the corporations and the banks directly to the people to push this behavioral modification, this change. And then, bam, 6 months later, we're hit with COVID.
That's right. Well, this is what you hear when Klaus Schwab says his big public-private partnership. This is why so many of the solutions that conservatives want to find to our problems are actually a setup. There is no market to land in when you have a public-private partnership.
Right.
You already have the public sector cooperating with the private sector, with these big banks or these mega corporations, and they're doing the same thing by two different means. If they can't get it through the front door of the government, they get it through the back door of the corporations, and they're doing the same thing. That's the thing that has to get broken up.
I agree.
The ESG cartel is the tool that they use to enforce that.
Mm-hmm.
And what direction does that point is toward the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals,
right.
So, to what, 17 goals to transform our world.
Right.
So we can see, like, the it's not like they call these things conspiracy theorists, but or theories, but there's a book that was written by H.G. Wells called The Open Conspiracy.
Exactly.
That tells you, like, no, actually, if they're telling you about this, you should believe them.
Yes, and I'm so glad you say that, because on my show, I always say, just go to the World Economic Forum's website, weforum.org, look up global governance. Go to the World Health Organization, put in global governance. Go to the UN Our Common Agenda that's coming down the pipe.
That's right.
Global governance. They mean it.
They mean
it. Why aren't people just listening to what they're saying?
And on the other side, though, look at look at the biggest initiative in education.
Right.
Global citizenship.
UNESCO.
What is a global citizen? There's no such thing as a global citizen.
No.
Because citizenship is a relationship between a individual and their sovereign government.
Right.
Citizenship is that relationship. It's rules, it's duties, etc. There's no global sovereign government, so there's no global citizen, because there's no rights conferred or duties expected. But if you get people to believe that there's already global citizens in some capacity, and then you're building out the global government, it's that much easier to get people to accept it. So you're doing, again, with the public-private partnership, you got the top down.
Right.
You got the education system being whacked, get the bottom up to accept it and be brainwashed into it.
Right.
Education for SDGs is the biggest thing in the world right now. That's where it's all going. By the way, next year, this time, all people are going to be talking about, if they're talking about education, is that education has been transformed to do the Sustainable Development Goals.
Right. Well, at COP27, they said it flat out that they're going to have mandatory climate education in all schools worldwide. And, you know, Trump pulled out of UNESCO.
Yep.
Joe Biden jumped right back in.
Right back in.
And UNESCO is basically the world curriculum. It's Common Core on steroids. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that our teachers' unions are also involved in an international union
teachers.
And it's just coming in and it's seeping through and people don't see it. And thank God for you and your books. I want to talk about one more thing, because you talk about it a lot, which is the propaganda machine. It's on steroids. People that study propaganda, I went to NYU and I had this great professor. He actually was ousted out of his job and is fighting NYU now. He teaches propaganda.
Yeah.
And the problem right now is that the propaganda is so intense and so insane and upside down, and that they call it misinformation, disinformation, all that. It's coming from these same globalist groups, the UN, the World Economic Forum, all of them. You go to their website, again, go to their own websites and look up misinformation, disinformation. It is all walking in lockstep. But then if you go to the Biden regime's website about it, same wording, same language. This is a propaganda campaign that's now worldwide, totally controlled narrative, and the American people still don't seem, I don't think, on a mass scale to see it.
I mean, that's why I'm glad we're here, because this is a building full of 11,000 or plus Americans where they've seen, like, if you think of it, like, we're in, like, remember that episode, that maybe it's a Simpsons movie or whatever, but they put a bubble over Springfield and the big glass bubble? It's like, there's a crack in the bubble, and we're the people you're seeing through the crack.
Right.
And that crack is widening, and more people are seeing it. But this is the kind of stuff you have to tell people and show them. Like, there is an international teachers union. Yeah, it's associated with UNESCO. It's tied right into the UN. Yes, they created the World Core curriculum.
Right.
Robert Mueller is the guy's name that did it. That derived into Common Core. That set up the stage to make all of the reporting mechanisms that have enabled social emotional learning. And what's social emotional learning, according to UNESCO? The perfect tool to change education into the Sustainable Development Goal. The whole thing fits together.
I know.
And when you show people, we can see through that crack. We can start to understand. You can, the bubble over Springfield, which is the world, really, at this point, is the propaganda that we're immersed in. Social media is, they're gathering our data so that our algorithms feed us that which will confirm us in directions they want us to go. That will get worse, not better.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
That is the fundamental difficulty. But I'm actually optimistic. You look at the different things. COVID, it took people however long to start to see through it. When we get to Ukraine war thing, it took a few weeks and people are like, wait a minute.
Right.
Something bad's happening. I don't know what it is, but it's not the thing CNN's saying.
Right, exactly.
And that's the key. It doesn't matter. The truth does matter. That's not what I'm saying. But the first step is seeing through that the CNN story's a lie.
Right.
And
exactly.
The one that Fox is saying it too. This right. is a lie. And when you start to, that's happening faster and faster and faster. People are saying, wait a minute, what's the real story?
Right.
Faster and faster with each thing. So the propaganda machine can be broken, but people have to realize that it's happening.
Yes.
And that it all comes from the same people and points in the same direction.
Right, I know. I always say, well, I've been saying for a long time, the left and right, Republican, Democrat, it is a farce. You are choosing sides that don't exist. Right now, the District of Columbia, the vassal state that is a uniparty. They are being completely and totally controlled by I call them the banking cartel, international banking cartel, the public-private partnership, the think tanks, the lobbyists, all the money in D.C. My feeling is that if every state could step up and take back their state, God willing, you know, one after another, open the books, go through the money, get out all the corruption. They don't need D.C.
That's
I feel
right.
like it's our only goal forward is to make every state sovereign again, have those states look at everything, balance their budgets, and then tell D.C. what to become, because I feel like that cesspool is not, it's not salvageable, and first and foremost, and the agencies are all unconstitutional. Why can't we just go back to our Constitution? The fact that the United States government is the biggest employer in America is the saddest thing I've ever heard, and people need to understand that's not how it was meant to be. These agencies need to be dismantled. What do you see going forward? We're watching the Twitter thing. You and I obviously know the FBI, all of it.
Yeah.
They haven't even gotten to Google and the rest of the tech companies. But do you think that there's going to be a positive change here? Because I don't want to see a bunch of committees and nonsense, another clown show for 2 years about what happened. We know what happened. I want to see some
Well, I mean, I don't know how it'll develop, but I do know that as somebody who's been exposing what's going on and then watching that develop, watching the narratives change, and then watching things start to take place, I do know that this at least, that we're in the first steps, or maybe even the second steps, in the directions that need to start happening. And when this ball starts rolling, and as the propaganda, again, we're going to get pulled into it, but we're going to be able to step back out of it as we understand. As this progresses, we will get to the point where we can start to shake free of this. And it can all come apart. It can all shatter very, very quickly. That glass dome can shatter very quickly. I agree that we need to overwhelmingly lean on the 10th Amendment. We need to strengthen the autonomy of the states. We need to go back to what was argued out and the wisdom that was found in both the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers,
right,
where they warned about, you know, an excessive federal government.
Yes.
We need to go back to these roots and understand what those people were about, what they were fighting for, and why it's necessary to preserve our key, what makes us human, which is that we're free.
Yeah.
We're people who can think for ourselves. We don't need a computer to tell us what to think.
No.
We don't need an algorithm to condition us to think in a certain way through nudge theory or whatever other crap
God,
they're doing.
Oh, God, don't get me started on
that
guy.
Yeah, so, no, this is what we need. And so that we can be free men and women, and we can be a beacon of freedom to the world, and hopefully that will grow and spread.
Yeah, I think the key point here, too, is also the puppet masters that I call them that we're talking about, the UNESCOs, the World Economic Forum, UN, World, they're also top-down getting, like, into our souls and our beings, and I think we have to keep reminding people that who they are.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because we're looking at each other, because all those same billionaires that we're talking about, the Gateses, the Soros, the, you know, everyone on that level, think all these people, they are paying for the ground war. They
right.
are paying to keep us divided. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, some of the, even the left, right groups, you look at them, you trace the money, it's all going to the same, it's all from the same billionaires down to divide us so we don't see the real enemy.
And there's a simple reason. It's because we all look back in history and we say, oh, the Enlightenment, and then everything was great, and we have a marketplace of ideas, but no, we didn't. We moved into an aristocracy of ideas. They control that. And the problem is we are now in a second phase of the Enlightenment because of the internet, because of social media, because we can connect, because we can meet like this, we can travel, all these things they want to take away from us.
Yes.
Because we can do those, what we're doing, and they know that what we're doing is exposing the fraud of their regime.
Right.
So what do they need? A great reset back to when they had
right,
control
exactly.
over it. For what? Sustainability of the regime,
yeah.
which they're losing. So we are in, the fire of the Enlightenment has been lit again, and it's going to burn their house down. It's
I
all
agree.
Metaphors, people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
But my audience, I have a free speech platform.
I'm just saying,
I'm
you
still
know
not even back on Twitter. I have such a free
I just
speech
got permabanned
platform.
From Facebook 2 days ago.
Oh, good
so,
for
yeah.
you. You're winning then.
Yeah,
that's
cheers.
What I say. It's total fraud anyway. It all is. It's all about collecting our data, manipulating our
that's
minds.
Right.
One last thing. You talk a lot about God. You're a real spiritual guy. I really believe right now we have to have a big push for people to go back inside and stop being part of a group, even left or right, Republican, Democrat, all BS. I think people have to go back to inside, God, family first, and really connecting, because I'm sure you read, I read on my show the whole Secular Democrats of America platform, which is like mm-hmm. the most anti-God, and it's taken hold, and the whole entire Obama, Biden regime, whatever you want to call them, that's in there now, have really tried to cancel God on every level, which is a lot of what's happening to our children, and I see that we have to really push for bringing that back, because this new bill that they just passed the marriage bill is really an anti-God bill, let's be honest, and a trancing on our freedom. And my feeling is that they've totally manipulated the idea of church and state, separation of church and state, and that's never what it was supposed to be about. What it's supposed to be about is the government staying out of my religion, away from my God, and holding God sacred no matter what.
Well, I mean, the fundamental principle underneath this whole American experiment is the recognition that we're not God.
Right.
Therefore, we don't deserve political authority. So we lend it to our elected leaders.
Right.
We give it to them with restrictions. We lend it, I should say, with restrictions, time limits, divided powers, all kinds of limitations. And they seem to have forgotten that that's how it works.
Right.
Nobody deserves political authority. So you're right. People need to get back inside of themselves, not in a weird narcissistic way. That's the left's problem with getting inside themselves. What they have to start, you know, what are my values? Why do I value these? Why does this matter for my country? Who do I want to be? Who do I want to be as an American? Where do I see America in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years? How do I want the future to look for my kids? They've got to get reconnected to the visions of particularly truth and goodness at a fundamental level.
Right.
And they have to start seeing each other. When we go back, as you're meaning it, you know, getting back into the home or into the self or what,
right.
We have to understand each other as individuals, not as group
right.
entities.
That's the biggest thing to me. And you've talked about it a lot, because the internet has done that. You know, I was kicked off 2.5 years ago of Twitter, and so I really didn't look around. I've been peeking back in. It brings out the worst of humanity, I have to tell you. All this internet, especially Instagram and all these fake lives that they're putting out there, the Kardashians, I call it. I was in LA for 16 years, and I watched this kind of become like a false reality. You talk a bit about false friendships, and these people aren't your friends. And you don't know these people, and this group think, and this having to be part of a group. And when I say go inside, I mean separate yourself, the individual,
that's right.
The uniqueness, what God gave, the spark they gave you and your children, and make sure that everyone knows, no, you're an individual first, because we've all, especially because of social media and getting kicked off and the censorship and this and that, people have accepted that they have to be part of a group. And
yeah,
I think that's a big problem.
That is, it is. And then once you accept that, you start bending yourself to conform to that group, so that group will accept you, so that group won't ostracize you
right.
or throw you out. And what you do every time you change yourself to blend in with the group is you give away a piece of your soul.
Right.
I've been telling people that for years. I've been telling the kids that for years. It's like every time you acquiesce to one of their demands to fit in, you've right. given away a piece of your soul.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I got kicked off of YouTube, I got kicked off of Twitter, and people, go create a fake account. I'm like, no, I'd rather be the one person who's just saying it. Kick me off. I don't care. I have a
yes.
free speech platform. And people have come because of that. People go to you because of that. People know inherently inside their souls that they are unique and that they should remain unique and remain, their own, think for themselves, critical thinking, all that stuff that they've stripped away. I think you're doing a great job at really helping people get back to that. You're an amazing writer, you're a great thinker, and I think you're a real leader in this movement. So thank you so much for talking to me.
That's so kind. Thank you.
You are so great. I read all your stuff. I follow you. Can you tell my audience where to follow you and how to find you? You also have a great website, so
yeah.
Tell the folks.
Yeah, the website is newdiscourses.com. The social media, I'm at Conceptual James. It's at New Discourses. That's where I got confused and stumbled. I just had a book out. It's called The Marxification of Education. It's, if you forgot the title, it's marxification.com. It's about how they stole education from our society and our kids.
Thank you so much. You are such a hero.
Thank you, man.
Keep fighting. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Clay Clark's Reawaken America Tour, January 20th and 21st in Nashville, Tennessee. To get tickets, head over to themelkshow.com/events. Use promo code MelK.